Our scripture this morning is from the 32nd Psalm. I'm going to read part of it, verses 1 through 5, and then verses 10 and 11. There's also some other very good verses in there, but these are the ones we're going to focus on for today. How joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How joyful is a person whom the Lord does not charge with iniquity and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer's heat. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Many pains come to the wicked, but the one who trusts in the Lord will have faithful love surrounding him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. And may the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing it. How many of you remember this one? Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Now, we're not going to thank the pastor for his talents in singing, okay? We're just going to let that one go. But if you remember, you know that this was a tremendously popular song by Bobby McFerrin. You see the title of the sermon if you're looking at your bulletin, Don't Worry, Be Happy. That was the number one pop hit of the year in 1988. And the 1988 Grammy Award Song of the Year. His more full name was Bobby McFerrin Jr., the son of an operatic baritone, Robert McFerrin Sr. of St. Louis. Sue will remember that the senior, Robert McFerrin, sang in our church choir at Third Baptist Church of St. Louis while Sue and I were on staff there in the late 80s and early 90s. I think I remember, check me out on this, Sue. I think I remember Bobby McFerrin himself coming to sing that song on a Sunday morning in the church, didn't he? She doesn't remember. She remembers everything I can't remember. But now she doesn't remember that one. Oh, well. It was a great, fun song, but a fleeting hit. And it was not nearly so great as King David's Psalm 32, our life guide for this morning. Interesting story about McFerrin. But here's another fun story. There's an old story about a 10-year-old cat watching a kitten chasing its tail. And so the big old cat asked the kitten, why are you going round and round chasing your tail? Well, between the huffs and the puffs, the little kitten stopped for a minute, put on his face of pretend wisdom, and responded, I have already learned that the best thing for a cat is happiness. And happiness is in my tail. Therefore, I'm chasing it, and when I catch it, I shall have happiness. Well, the old cat snickered a bit under his breath at the display of fabricated smarts, and then thoughtfully replied, I too have paid attention to the puzzles of the universe, and I too have judged that happiness is in my tail. But I've noticed that whenever I chase after it, it keeps running away from me. So I've thought a lot about it. And when I don't spend my time chasing around and around after the happiness I think is to be found in my tail, but rather just go about my business, my tail just seems to always follow me wherever I go, keeping happiness always right near, always staying right there with me. So, not worrying and just being happy. Well, what's that all about? Or how do you feel about this matter of happiness? Are you like the little kitten pursuing something or some several somethings in hope of making a good catch and finally attaining the happiness that you want so much? Well, you know what? Speaking of the pursuit of happiness, the sad truth is, in many ways, ours is a predominant world of unhappiness. So what can we chase? What should we chase? How can we be happy when we find ourselves surrounded by an unhappy world? Well, a good big part of the answer is found not in the McFerrin song or in the kitten's tail, but assuredly in Psalm 32. This is a psalm with which Bible translators have found they can use many different words that are descriptive of the concept of happiness. Words like joyful. That's one that I've just read from the Christian Standard Bible. You notice I didn't read happiness. Joyful, it's there. It's also in the New Living Translation. Or blessed. Blessed is the one that's used in the King James or in the New International Version. Or happy. That's the one that's used in the ICB or the NRSV. Do you know what the ICB is? That's the International Children's Bible. More words standing for the thought of happiness and happiness, happy and happiness are gladness, rejoicing, loved, forgiven. Several translators use similar words, and we all know the meaning. Happy because we are blessed. So the opposite of that, unhappiness, a time for us, a thought of our situation, a world full of it, it's not the notion that we want lingering around us. But the Word of God, our inspiration from Psalm 32, proclaims we can be happy in an unhappy world because of the following. Forgiveness. Forgiveness ushers in happiness. Honesty. Honesty is surrounded by happiness. And trust. Trust keeps happiness always alive and well. Well, the psalmist proclaims in verse 1 of chapter 32 there, happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Well, that's in the Good News Translation. That's this little... Y'all remember this one? You had one of these, didn't you? Yeah, we had so many of these around. Goodness gracious. But that it says, happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Well, that's a great notion. That's a good impression. That's a view. It's a belief. And let's throw in the idea of relief. The relief of forgiveness. How we feel and live our lives when we're living in happiness. We're living as forgiven people. There's no greater blessedness, there's no greater happiness than to experience the forgiveness of God. God forgives our transgressions, forgives our sins by literally carrying them away or by covering them. When we feel God lifting the load of guilt from us, we know a level of happiness that can be known in any other way. When God forgives our sins, He covers our sins. He hides our sins. And we're warned not that we're not to be the one to cover our sins. That's God's job. We're not going to cover them. There's a verse in the Proverbs that really warns us against it. It says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. You know, we have a lot of stories surrounding many hymns, and I'm always kind of fond of the stories of the hymns. Robert Robinson, author of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, you know that one. Mr. Robinson lost the happy communion that he once enjoyed with the Lord, the communion he enjoyed with the Lord when he wrote Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. He drifted back into a life of sin. And so he got very disturbed about this, and hoping to find his way back to claiming happiness, he decided that the way to do it was to travel. Well, in the course of his travels, God brought into his pathway, and he became acquainted with a very fine young Christian lady. And as they sat and talked about a number of things, she happened to ask him what he thought of a particular hymn that she had just discovered. And to his astonishment, it was none other than his own composition, Come Thou Fount. Well, she asked him questions about what he thought about this and what he thought about that, and he tried to evade all of her questions, but she continued to press him, and she got no response. And suddenly he was just overcome, and he couldn't hold it back any longer, and he began to quietly weep. And with tears streaming down his cheeks, he said, "I am the man who wrote that hymn. I wrote it many years ago, and I'd give anything to experience the happiness I knew back then." And although she was greatly surprised, the young lady spoke beyond her years. She reassured him that the streams of mercy that he himself had written of in that hymn still flowed. Robinson was deeply moved by this young lady, and he fell into deep reflection and an overwhelming turning of his life occurred because of the renewed turning of his wandering heart to Jesus and accepting God's forgiveness. He once again entered into the happiness that he'd lost so many years before, received it because of forgiveness. You can't find happiness? You can't find the joy that you once knew? You can't rejoice and feel the blessings of the Lord? Perhaps because there may be sin. Possibly there are problems between you and the Lord, and you just simply haven't sought His promised forgiveness. Unless you seek and receive God's forgiveness, you'll not live enveloped in the happiness that God wants you to have. And often what that calls for is honesty. Let me read again a few verses of our text for today, verses 3 through 5. "When I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as the summer's heat. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Now I want to read it to you from the way that a group of modern translators put it. And this is David getting honest with the Lord. This is a Living Bible translation, this one. "There was a time when I," David says, "there was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was. But my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. All day and all night your hand was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone." Well, both of those translations say about the same thing. They say the same thing, really. But that second presentation of David's words sounded like he was talking to us, didn't it? He spoke of his unwillingness to admit that he was a sinner, and about how his dishonesty was such a barrier and a burden to him, and made his whole existence just melt away like evaporating water, and how he decided to admit his sin to God and not hide his sin away from God. Then upon his honest confession of his sin, he realized his sin and guilt had been forgiven, and now his guilt was gone. You see, trying to be dishonest with God just doesn't work. What we are really also doing is being dishonest with ourselves. God knows our sin. We must be honest with ourselves, and then we can admit to God what we've been fooling ourselves into, somehow thinking we're getting away with something. God knows and wants to, waits to forgive. And his forgiveness is there for our relief from that burden. So that's it for honesty. Honesty with myself leading to honesty with God. And his forgiveness then comes with happiness. You see, it's about the person that you are. Are you willing to admit that? Well, some of us can admit it to ourselves. Do we admit it to others? Amen. Don Williams, a Presbyterian minister, had a story that I found very helpful concerning admitting to myself who I am. Reverend Williams recalled attending his first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. He went along with a recovering alcoholic friend. And he said, what he saw there didn't realize. He said that each member that night would introduce himself or herself with these words: I am Joe. I am Jane. And I am an alcoholic. And the minister of this story asked, what would happen in the church if we all use that same level of honesty to introduce ourselves? What would happen if we got together for a church gathering and we greeted each other saying, I'm Stephen and I'm a sinner? Personally, I don't think here in our pretty close-knit church of, our church family of Boscadale, that we'd have a big problem with this, but honestly, if we did, there would be no pretense at all among us. All pretense would be gone. Honesty about ourselves, with ourselves, can always open renewed or even new relationships within our fellowship, even as this is true with God. And happiness can flood our lives. And you know, honest about the sins you've committed. I've committed. David said in verse 5, I acknowledge my sin. He didn't say, I acknowledge my temperament, or I acknowledge my weakness, or I acknowledge my temporary misjudgment. His word of personal truth was sin. And as David was honest about his personal sins, he was relieved of the fooling himself cover-up that had overwhelmed him with sorrow. Now, rather than trying to cover his sins, he allowed God to cover them for him. David found this, and we must too. Force yourself to face up to the sins that you have glossed over in the past. Be specific about your sins with our forgiving Lord, and you're promised the happiness of freedom from lingering guilt. Mm-hmm. Well, the third big concept here in Psalm 32 is trust. Trust in the forgiveness and the love of God. In verse 5, David asserted that his forgiveness was now a thing of the past. He said, "You forgave the guilt of my sin." David accepted and trusted God's forgiveness as an accomplished fact. But you know, even the great King David did not know, was not able to trust God's continuing and complete forgiveness in the same way that we are. He had to continue the sacrifices of those days. Keep on sacrificing for forgiveness. But the reconciling, redeeming forgiveness of sin for his followers is a promised trust from Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, the saving Messiah that David could only dream of, not know, as we've been privileged to know and trust. And the word faithful is an assuring word of trust in the protection of God. David, in those last two verses, verses 10 and 11, painted a great and assuring word picture of God's protection. He said, "Many pains come to the wicked, but the one who trusts in the Lord will have faithful love surrounding him." Mm-hmm. And here the words of that picture image of happiness. Already you've heard love. Love is happiness. And now at verse 11, glad. Glad is happiness. Rejoice, that's happiness. Joy, that's happiness. He said, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Well, truly, you can be a happy, forgiven sinner in an unhappy world. You can. And you can when you're honest with yourself, when you admit to yourself and God your sin, and you trust in the faithful provision and protection of God all the way from here to heaven. Amen. So, thank you, David, for this great word that you got and wrote down in Psalm 32 and passed on to us. Mm-hmm. David, you got it from God. Amen. Amen. Amen.